I'm Dr. Mark Rowe, and welcome to my podcast, In the Doctor's Chair. As a family physician, my expertise is supporting people in the areas of positive health and lifestyle medicine. Join me in conversations that share life lessons, health habits, and leadership practices, focusing on positive psychology, lifestyle medicine, and ways that enable you to live with more vitality on purpose. Appreciating that when it comes to your vitality, that everything is so interconnected. Episodes will air weekly, and you can find me wherever you listen to your podcasts, and of course, on my website, drmarkrowe.com.
I have a friend who's 97, and what she says is, Alana, make a younger friend every year, because there will come a time when all the friends your own age have died. So you need to have a lot of younger friends. I see the next 30 years, next 20 years is building those friends, and the 10 after that is enjoying them.
Wonderful. What wonderful advice.
I'm Dr. Mark Rowe, and welcome to my podcast, In the Doctor's Chair. As a family physician, my expertise is supporting people in the areas of positive health and lifestyle medicine. Join me in conversations that share life lessons, health habits, and leadership practices, focusing on positive psychology, lifestyle medicine, and ways that enable you to live with more vitality on purpose. Appreciating that when it comes to your vitality, that everything is so interconnected. Episodes will air weekly, and you can find me wherever you listen to your podcasts, and of course, on my website, drmarkrowe.com.
I'm joined in the podcast today by Alana James. Alana is American and spent most of her life in the United States until she fell in love with Ireland, moving to Kinsale, County Cork in 2006. Alana obtained her degree in fine arts from the University of Colorado in 1971, and she exhibited in art galleries and competitive shows throughout the 80s. Life then moved in an academic direction, and Alana obtained her Doctor of Educational Leadership from Columbia University in 2005. She's published several books, and now, all those years later, she's back where she started as an artist and with a passion for positive aging. Alana, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I want to start with this idea that really resonates with me, this idea of positive aging. Where did your interest in this area come from? And tell me what you've learned so far.
It comes from my own personal life, a natural evolution. When I was 20, I had what I thought was a pretty good idea of where I wanted to be at 30, 40, and 50. And those ideas, while not necessarily spot on, were largely driven by culture, what you saw on TV, what you saw, what you heard, radio, etc. I just turned 70, and 75, 85, and 95 is mysterious. The only thing we see is from our own experience, and largely from the experience of people who have been in our lives in their dying. But we don't have a rich wealth of culture that tells us the stories of thriving at 75, 85, and 95. So I wanted to be able to build my own picture. And the easiest way to do that was to take my artwork into portraiture and ask people if they would be part of this bigger project that I'm doing on positive aging.
I mean, I think positive aging is such a fascinating idea, and I'm reminded of the brilliant work that's been done by Becca Levy in Yale University. She's shown that if you've got a positive view of aging, you may live up to 7.5 years longer than people with more negative views. In other words, if you see aging as a time to acquire wisdom, a new perspective, and become more insightful and creative and enlightened. Is that your experience, Alana?
Well, yes. And it's my personal experience because I live out of a yoga tradition that speaks to the fact that the ancient yogis would have said that there's stages of life, sunrise, that's to about 30, midday, and then sunset. And the purpose of sunset period of time was to mature and to enlighten, to move to a place where we've kind of got all the subtleties together. We can really be the kind, creative, warm, wonderful people that in our hearts we all want to be. So it's a mixture. Now, what the art project has taught me, everybody who I do a portrait of, I ask them to name their portrait with a phrase that what they would tell other people about aging. So those messages are: be positive. Don't believe anything that anybody tells you that makes you feel small. Be curious. Be aware of what's going on. All of those are the kinds of messages that I'm getting.
I think that idea of being curious is such a powerful and empowering idea. The idea of that you never stop learning, never stop growing, never stop reimagining how you can be in the world. And I'm reminded of Einstein, Alana, you know, who was a brilliant scientist, but he also had great respect for the arts as well. And he once said, perhaps the most important question any of us need to ask ourselves is this one. And it's, do I choose to live in a more hostile or a more friendly universe? Because if I choose to live in a more hostile universe, I'm going to experience more fear, more negativity, more resentment. If I choose to live in a more positive universe, I'm going to experience more love, more joy, more optimism.
Yeah. That's it, really. We can probably just stop talking there because it's everything we could ever say.
But it's interesting, isn't it, Alana, how we have that potential to choose how to see things. And when we allow ourselves the space, and maybe we have to change our environments a little bit and really make sure we're surrounding ourselves with people that are going to encourage us and so on. But when we do choose to see things a little bit differently, how things can start to change for us.
Well, and we're talking now about the work involved. Because we grow up and we're kids and we decide how the world is based upon the messages we get from our parents and the messages we get from other kids. And many of us have messages from one or both of those that make us, that leave us with places that perhaps in order to move past them, we need to heal that. It feels like a stuckness.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that kind of work, we have to be able to be aware. We have to know that they're there. We have to have tools to get rid of them. For me, that would be breath and physical yoga. There are many, many tools. So that's a path. And we choose to get on that path whenever we do. But once on that path, then my experience is that the shedding of, like you mentioned, choosing different friends. I haven't had a person in my life that had a negative output for years. They just don't come anymore. They just don't show up anymore. So some things happen naturally, like shedding, like a snake shedding its skin. When you're on a path of self-awareness, I think it isn't as difficult as it may seem to people when they're starting.
Yes. And I think with time, you generate momentum as well. And it's really all about starting. As I say, never stop starting. And those small incremental steps, they do compound over time. And I think one of the other things as well, Alana, we're always constantly changing. So, I mean, I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. You're not the same person you were 5 years ago. And that brings new opportunities.
I would, there were a couple of things there I might put caveats on. If I'm in touch with my wholest, truest self, that self is the same all the way through my life. When I'm 70, I look back, that hub that I call me has always been there. But the outside flavor of me has changed a number with jobs, with places, with all kinds of things. And that, yeah, that's good.
I couldn't agree more. And I think you've really highlighted the importance of this concept called true self or authentic self, the inner you, the inner I, as it were, is unchanging. And that is the really, I suppose, the soulful essence of who you are.
And how we can count on that and be guided by that. When we do something outside of that, we know it in our gut that it didn't feel good. And when we live, and it's easier and easier to do with time. So I have to say to people who are starting this, who think, oh my God, this is a lot of work. It isn't a lot of work, really, when you're just kind of get in the habit of knowing that. And that would be meditation for me. Then you just do it. You just naturally say fewer things you regret saying. Smile more. Enjoy the nature better. Know when you need to take a break because you're getting upset. All those things become easier.
I think the wisdom of knowing yourself and knowing what suits you is really, really important. I think the Vedics as well described it very well, Alana. They spoke about how in some ways we're like a big Spanish onion caked in layer after layer of life's challenges and upheavals and setbacks and struggles. But if you peel back all the layers from the onion, you get to the heart of the onion. And peeling back all that those layers of stuff allows you to get back to the essence of who you really are on the inside, true self.
And those are the moments we all know when we're calm and we feel loved and there are people around us who support us. And that happens more and more and more. So those are the kinds of things I'm trying to capture in these portraits of people. The portraits are so people don't think I'm painting and that somebody's sitting in a chair for hours. The portraits are done with photography. So you take a picture of yourself standing. I get your feet and your head. And then you send me lots of pictures that have to do with your life. And we have conversations about your life and what makes them important. And then I try to put the pictures together in an overall collage that pleases you. And then we print them. That's the essence of this work. But that allows, so that the interesting thing here is that all of us have those pieces. All of us have pictures of what was meaningful. All of us can do this where we can put together a portrait of ourselves that is the meaningful things about our lives. And my joy is to talk to people 10, 20, and 30 years older than I am and figure out how, because they grew up in a different world, didn't they? Ireland was vastly different then than now. And so they get to help me understand not only their own personal evolution, but the evolution of this country, the evolution of how people get along here. It's a pretty amazing place to live.
It certainly is. If you were to look, Alana, at a life setback you've experienced, lessons you've learned, how you've grown, how maybe it's changed your perspective, is there something you'd share?
Yeah, I have several things in my life. I have a divorce. I have failures of a business in New York City. I have other life blips along the way. The lesson, whenever life gets tough, and, you know, I've had places where I didn't have income. And whenever life gets really tough, I strongly recommend education. What, in my case, that bachelor's degree came early, but then master's and doctoral degree. But it also can be a course that you take or whatever you do. But if life isn't feeling very good, go immerse yourself with other people who are learning stuff. Learning stuff is so exciting. And it helps us get on to the next.
I think that's such great advice. And I think it's really interesting how education can really improve your health as well. I mean, modern medicine is fantastic, but for every life that medicine saves, education is thought to save about 8. And I believe we should all never stop learning. I remember reading once that one of the main regrets of 90-year-olds, I'm not suggesting they have many regrets at that stage, but one of their top regrets was they didn't realize just how young they were when they were 65.
Yes, yes.
That it's never too late to go back and reinvent yourself or to do a new course. As you said, learn with other people that are also learning. What a great idea.
So a couple of the people that I've done portraits of who are in their 90s, 96, 95 years old, a couple of phrases come up for that, Mark. One is think about where you want to go and then plot your way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid. This is the wife of the man who said that, said, know that you have to sometimes close a book in order to open a new chapter. And for my own self right now at 70, that's my experience. At 70, I was feeling a bit stuck. I didn't want to just kind of coast for the rest of my life with all the stuff I've done.
Mm-hmm.
And through the turmoil of that, we are downsizing our house. I don't want to spend the rest of my life taking care of things. I don't want to do some, there's some places that just felt stuck. And so don't ever be afraid of closing a chapter if that's what it takes in order to open something new.
I think that's such great advice. And yet it can be so difficult for people to want to close the chapter and move on. People can be so rooted in their past or so rooted in how they believe the world sees them. Isn't that right?
Okay, so now you take me back to when I'm 20. And I had this course my first year in college. And we had to read this psychology book by a man who was in concentration camp in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in the book that he quite frankly thought that Anne Frank and the other people who had stayed were not the people we should pay attention to. The people we should pay attention to were the ones who got out. He said, prior to Germany becoming the challenge it was, people saw it coming. They didn't like what they saw, but they were so rooted to their life where they were that they then got seriously stuck. I mean, we know what a huge tragedy, phenomenal tragedy that was. At 20, I made a decision that I was never going to get stuck like that. Please, God. I should never live in a world where war comes to my world. But I said I would shut that door, lock it, and leave if that's what it took, not to be stuck. And that's been throughout lots of places in my life. That has been the horror of that allowed me to say in a little way, this isn't that, it's not so bad, but I need to not be stuck.
And is that a physical thing, the not being stuck, or is it more a mindset?
It can be all kinds of things, right? It can be body, mind, spirit. We just know when we have fallen into a repetitive pattern and that repetitive pattern no longer brings us joy.
Looking forward, Alana, if you were to look forward 5-10 years from now, what do you hope might be different for you then compared to now?
I can go 20 and 30 years, actually.
Let's go 30. Let's go all the way to 100.
All the way to 100. I see the next 10 years of my life as growing stronger, cementing my physical strength and cutting back on my lifestyle so that it's more manageable and being so all of life becoming stronger and more doable. And then I see my 80s as a time of joy and expansion, travel and having a good community of friends around me and enjoying company with them and being part of my community, giving back to my community. And then I see my 90s as a time when people come to me more than me go to them, because I've got things together. I've got a joy about me. I've got a way of being me that is attractive. And so I have a friend who's 97, and what she says is, Alana, make a younger friend every year, because there will come a time when all the friends your own age have died. So you need to have a lot of younger friends. I see the next 30 years, next 20 years is building those friends, and the 10 after that is enjoying them.
Wonderful. What wonderful advice. Alana, that brings me to health. I mean, obviously, health is important to you when you talk about building your physical strength, etc., over the next 10 years. What are your own staying healthy practices?
I teach water aerobics. Just a disclosure here, I have had two knees and two hips that have given me trouble for 40 years. So my mobility will be the ongoing challenge of my elder years. And I think frequently by the time we're 65 or 70, we know what those challenges are going to be. So whatever rocks you have in your path, you have to get a good baseline about what they are. You have to be able to measure the relative strengthening or decreasing. So, because you need to keep putting in practices. So I have a leg that's wonky and I wear a brace on that leg that helps keep it straight. But then I have to do exercise to keep the muscles strong. I do water aerobics. I do yoga. And meditation allows for all of that to be just kind of part of the flow of it, rather than have to go to the gym to get stuff done.
I think really that's the sweet spot of health habits, that they are something that they become part of who you are. So there isn't that huge internal resistance to doing it or saying, I must go to the gym or I must exercise or I must eat healthily, whatever it is, that it just becomes the default natural position to do that. And Alana, I wanted to ask you about meditation. How did meditation come into your life? How does it impact you? And what would you say to our listeners about it?
Okay, so meditation, Deepak Chopra put together over a number of years, 3 or 4 times a year, he came out with another 21-day meditation, and they were on topics. And so 21 days in a row, he and his guest speakers, Oprah Winfrey did a lot of them, and other people joined him, would talk about this topic that was useful to life. So getting unstuck, say, was one of them, and being healthy was one. And then he'd introduce a mantra, and then there'd be music for the next 20 minutes, and then it would be done. And that was those were good. They still are good. I've probably done them twice a day for 7 or 8 years now. The reason they're good for me is because they give my mind something to focus on that's like a step to take. And then the mantra, which is Sanskrit, so I'm not conscious of what it is, but it's an energy pattern, allows my inner self to run. And sometimes I have ideas, sometimes I don't. But you leave calmer and centered. And over time, I think that's what I was trying to get to earlier. Over time, the stuff you think you have to do to improve becomes not a have to do, but it just sort of happens. The philosophy there is that we live in an intelligent universe. And if we align ourselves with the overall intelligence that is our true self and the universal self, things will come to us and things will happen that are positive. And that's been my life experience.
And I think that's wonderful. And I've direct experience myself of meditation and its benefits. And I have many patients who have found a meditation practice not just a wonderful way to better embrace stress and learn to be more present, but really to really, I suppose, embrace the essence of who they are, as you said, to get back to more to true self and move more in the flow of life.
So, Mark, as a doc, as a PhD myself, I also have a real appreciation of data.
Mm.
So I think as that it's useful for us to track really how we are in a way that we're, so later on when we're not, because you've said a couple of times, it's building a practice. It's also coming back to a practice when we've stopped, because there is no practice that goes on and on every day, 365 days a year, over and over and over again, because life happens. So
absolutely.
When life happens, how good are we at coming back to where we were? I think that's a secret. And one of the things that helps me come back is to be aware that I'm here now and I'm maybe a little at this level now, but if I look back, oh, I'm much better than I was there. And you have to kind of have some realistic data that shows you that.
And I think that's where self-compassion is really important as well, to appreciate that you are not perfect and nobody else is either.
I'm never the worst and I'm never the best.
And that's absolutely fine to be good enough to be self-content and, as you say, to get back again, to never stop starting. And each day is a new opportunity.
It is. It is. And some days it's harder to see that opportunity than others, and that's okay too.
Absolutely. Alana, for our listeners, three take homes for a resilient mind.
I like what one of my people said about don't ever believe any, if somebody's telling you that you are less than you think you are, don't believe them. Don't buy in to other people's negative ideas about yourself, that we're actually much, much bigger and more grand than we can ever imagine ourselves to be. When I need resilience, the first thing I have to do is ground with where I really am. So in water aerobics, a man was telling me that he had had a scary moment when he couldn't move. His back had frozen on him, and I laid down picturing being frozen like that, and I said, okay, but could you move your hands? Could you move your whatever? That's the basis of resiliency, is the being so completely where you are and then having the okay, but what can I do? I might not be able to, he might not have been able to roll over and get up, but he could move his hands, and with time, his hands could move his arms, and with times, his arms could roll him over. So instead of being stuck on his back, frightened for a half an hour, it could have been 5 minutes till his body released. To me, it was a physically oriented story that reminded me of what it takes. And then the other thing is, I had that experience and I got over it. I don't forget it, but I go learn how to get over it next time. So what, however bad it was, whatever went on, there is someone out there who can tell you what to do better next time. We can learn from each other.
Absolutely. Learn from each other and learn from our experiences. I was thinking there in real time about Martin Luther King. He once said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, keep moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all of whatever. Whoever we run into that touches our heart, remember those things when we feel stuck, and we'll get better. We'll keep going.
And you're so right. You know, we can learn so much from the experience of other people. I mean, that's really one of the main reasons I started this weekly wellbeing podcast was to share the ideas and stories of others so that people may learn and take something interesting from these stories, because we can learn so much from them. And secondly, we can learn so much from ourselves as well, from our own experiences, by reflecting and reframing and using those experiences as a new starting point to step forward into a brand new day.
I think what you're doing is fabulous. I think every time, sometimes we don't have around us people who will tell us these things. So you're giving people an option that, because they're following you, to hear these things, to keep getting the message, I can do this too. I can do this too. I can do this too. Sometimes we really need that helping hand. So bravo.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words. I really do appreciate it, Alana. Finally, for you, Alana, what's the meaning of life?
Don't you love to end with a real big one? The meaning to me of life is to get closer and closer to that connectedness with infinite possibilities and all that is. And whatever you call that, religions have called it things, but there is around us something magnificent that brings nature and the world and each other together. And in my own small way, step by step, I want to get closer and closer to those experiences.
Well, Alana, I think that's a wonderful way to end our podcast conversation. Thank you so much for being my guest. Keep leading, keep inspiring, and keep being your purpose and advocating for positive aging now and into the decades to come. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to my podcast, In the Doctor's Chair. For further resources to support you to live with more vitality, please visit my website, drmarkrowe.com. Thank you for listening to my podcast, In the Doctor's Chair. For further resources to support you to live with more vitality, please visit my website, drmarkrowe.com.